This is sex.
Everyone gets what they want.
This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com.
This is the Supper Club Bondage Dinner.
So as tomfoolery is tying up the beautiful Rusky, doesn't she have the cutest butt ever?
She is absolutely gorgeous.
And you know what I really love about the Supper Club is that there's so many different kinds of beauty.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like a lot of Boutet was here with her big, beautiful, magnificent everything, including her amazing voice and her mermaid outfit. And your act is all about body image activism.
And then there's Miss V, too, the host of the Supper Club. Absolutely gorgeous, Miss V. Yes.
You know, I always forget about her because, you know, she just is so feminine and so womanly. You know that I forget that she also is sometimes a man.
Yeah.
She has this great photo on Facebook of her at Burning Man, and she has like 5 o'clock shadow and beautiful eye makeup on. She looks really sexy.
Oh yeah, I think that's totally a hot look. I love that look. Yeah.
Yeah, the gender blending, you know. So tell me about your work as a body image activist. Like, what sort of response have you received? And, you know, I know that you have a big section about it on your blog, and I think it's something that we are only beginning to talk about, like that everyone has their own sexiness, and it's important to own it.
Right. So I'm Lady Monster, and I'm a burlesque performer. I've been doing burlesque for like 6 years. I started with the Fat Bottom Review that was founded by Heather McAllister. And that troupe was invited by Leonard Nimoy to be models that ended up in his book called Full Body Project. And then I ended up being the spokesperson with Leonard at like his Full Body Symposium, the book release party, and then on The Insider and on Extra TV. Then he and I have been in interviews together. I've been in magazine and newspaper articles interviewed with him.
I remember last time you were on Sexploration with Monica, you described this moment where everyone got naked, and there was this big, beautiful scene. Can you describe that scene for us? Because it was such a good one. Do you remember the one I'm talking about? Like, that you ran outside or something out of the room? I don't remember exactly, but go on.
Okay, so we're at the Hammer Gallery, the Hammer Museum in Los Angeles. We have the whole place to ourselves. We finished most of the photo shoot already, and we're upstairs around the Shangri-La sculpture that's all mirrored like mountain sculpture. And he's like, all right, ladies, I have one more shot that I want to do. Everybody go downstairs and wait for me there, and then we'll get to it, you know. And one of the ladies pipes up, and she's like, yes, Leonard, whatever you want, Leonard. And then another girl said, whatever Leonard wants. And then there's 10 fat naked women all like running around the Hammer Gallery, you know, Hammer Museum, running down the stairs into the courtyard, singing at the top of our lungs, whatever Leonard wants, Leonard gets. So yeah, that's just one of the many beautiful moments that we shared that afternoon with him.
Cool, and really just reveling in your naked, sexy selves.
Oh yeah, absolutely, because you can see in the images like how much joy and comfort and strength and, you know, that we each had in confidence
and power.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, and you're also doing this really sexy project that's sexy and smart, Naked Girls Reading.
Yes. Michelle Lamour, a burlesque superstar, international burlesque superstar out of Chicago, came up with the idea to have an event called Naked Girls Reading, where there are naked women reading literature that's not their own books, like someone else's books. And so each event has a theme to it, and they do them monthly in some cities, and some of them do them every other month. Like here in San Francisco, we do it every other month. But there's franchises all over the world where groups of women do this. And there's a group of men in Seattle and a group of men in New York that do naked boys reading. And I really would love to get a troupe of naked people reading in San Francisco and have it be trans-friendly, male-friendly, however you're...
Like super inclusive.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want anybody to be not included and to be able to be part of the event if they want to be part of the event.
Right, because then you don't have to be like, oh, what gender are you? Or,
yeah. Yeah, how do you identify? Right. You're just going to be part of it no matter what.
Right. I know, because sometimes, every now and then, people want to say, okay, well, this group is for women. And then because they want to have a special feeling about it or whatever, they say, okay, women who were born women. And then that excludes women who choose to be women later in their lives.
Or just if they identify as women, because that's currently how we run the show here, is do you identify as a woman? And so I don't want to like not include people, but with the name of the or of the group,
Naked Girls Reading,
right? Then we as a cast felt like they should be at least woman identified.
Right, and identity in as opposed to expression. Like expression is what you look like. So you could be in drag. You could dress up like a man or dress up like a woman, and that would be you in drag. That would be your gender expression. And then your gender identity is what you feel like intrinsically, like who you think you really are.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly.
And what's interesting about the transgender movement is that now that we're looking at, you know, you can identify as something that you were not what you were born, and it can be no less true. And what's happening for transgender people is, I think in the culture, people get so attached to, you know, men are like this and women are like this, that when any time anyone crosses a gender boundary, you know, society feels threatened. So they try to change that person by shaming them. And we did talk a lot about shaming when we were upstairs talking about sex work, you know, like people police women's sexuality by calling them sluts and whores. And people police gender roles by calling women sluts and men fags. You know, and if you're gay, you're queer, and you're a faggot, and all these mean things. And so there's this big battleground, mostly taking place in the bathroom, where transsexual or transgender or cross-dressers or whatever, they don't have a bathroom that they can use, you know?
Yeah, I see that a lot, too.
And it's so important to be inclusive, and, you know, inclusive about gender and sexuality and body size and all the ways that we're freaky and beautiful.
Yeah, that's why I created a workshop called Positively Lovely, and it starts out as like a visualization exercise, and then I just walk people through, like first we start out like thinking of like a judgment that somebody's held against them for a physical characteristic of theirs, and then where they hold that in their body, like where they're feeling it, like when they remember it, and then to let it go. And then they start touching every single part of their body, like starting at the top of their head, going down to their toes, appreciating and putting love into every single part of their body that they touch. And just to like spend some time like really loving themselves and just basking in the afterglow of all of that love for a while, just really vibrating with that energy that they've just created like all over themselves of finding a reason to love and appreciate every part that they touch, and to just kind of hold that and think of that. And then I ask people to start telling their stories of when did you fall in love with a body part or your entire body, and then it really starts people to think of like, yeah, I really don't hate all of my body. You know, maybe I can just kind of work on that one spot, you know, or like, oh, I know how I overcame that, you know, struggle that I had. And you know, like the last time I did that workshop, we had about...
That was Rope, actually, from on stage, just came over to flick the microphone. Sorry, go on, Lady Monster.
That was perfect.
Yeah, totally.
And so then we... So we had like about 35, 40 people in the workshop, and about 10, 15 people came forward with their own personal story of how they fell in love with their bodies. And everybody had a different story. And I was like, well, that just expresses my point that I had made earlier in the workshop, that everybody's body is unique and 100% unusual to their to themselves. And you need to revel in the fact that there isn't another person that looks exactly like you. And how beautiful that is, that you are completely unique and amazing that way.
And we're all alive right now, you know?
Yeah, and to appreciate that. Oh my goodness. Upside down, gorgeously.
Her rigging, the rigging along her leg, it kind of looks like the strings on a harp, doesn't it? And with the red rope and the red underwear and the face paint for Day of the Dead.
Right, but it's got this red rope and this like cable looking effect, like she's like the Golden Gate Bridge here are.
Oh, yeah. And now he's swinging her around. He's got her both on a rescue swivel so she can spin. And then she's like rigged in the center of the room and spinning. Her legs are a little bit swiveled and her arms are down. And like just the way that the rope is interacting with her skin, she looks really juicy. Really, really hot.
Yeah, absolutely succulent. And now here come the cat of nine tails. Wow.
So he's flogging her again. We talked with her earlier on the show about how much she likes flogging. She likes the thuddy flogging rather than the stingy flogging.
Me too. That's what I like.
It's nice. I like the thuddy spanking too, like with not the stinging, the sharp pain, but the really deeper pain. Now, and it's almost not even painful, you know what I mean? It's just sensation at that point.
Yeah, that's my kink too. I like that thud.
And what's nice about the bondage dinner, oh, and that's funny, someone else is experimenting with spankings upstairs. What's nice about the bondage dinner is you can really check out other people's kink and see if that feels good to you, or does that turn you on, or does that freak you out, you know what I mean? And it's very safe. I mean, obviously, we've created a socially appropriate makeout zone, so it's okay to make out for people, but you don't have to go very far with that. And if you want to get tied up, we've got experts here to do it. Jack Hammer brought some rope. Tom Foolery has rope. I think Lord Michael also has rope. And Walden, who I just met from FetLife, he's here. And, oh, and now she's hanging upside down.
Completely upside down, like almost like a hangman's, like on the tarot card. Like
she can hang upside down for 15 minutes, even more. Last bondage dinner, I think she did the July dinner. She was hanging upside down for like nearly 20 minutes. I went upstairs, did two more interviews with other people, came back downstairs, and she's still hanging upside down. And when I talked to her after about it, she's like, oh, was I upside down for very long? It didn't seem like that long at all. When he took me down, I was like, really? Is that all?
I love being upside down too.
Oh, really? Why do you like it?
I don't know. I've always been a headstand person, like in gymnastics. Like I can still like walk on my hands, and like I was just doing that last week in a hotel room.
Well, you know that yogis say that it's really good to do inversions every now and then because it gets the blood into new and different places, and it's sort of like a refresher for your brain, because usually the blood kind of goes down and it's by your feet all the time.
Gravity.
Exactly. So it's nice to have it near your face. Yeah. And in your brain and all of those good places, you know.
I was like remembering like how I could do push-ups on my hands. So I was like walking around, and then I did a couple of push-ups. And
yeah, it's really important to connect with your body in this joyful new and experiment with what feels good. You know, maybe hang upside down every now and then just to see if you like it. You know, try something different.
Might as well be a bat. It's, you know, it's the season.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on Sexploration with Monica. How can people find out about your work and Naked Girls Reading and all of that stuff?
LadyMonster.com, NakedGirlsReading.com, NakedGirlsReading.net is just the San Francisco site. I'm on Facebook under just Lady Monster, with like no spaces or anything after Facebook. And I'm all over the place. Just Google Lady Monster and I'm going to come up a million times.
So. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. And I'm the queen of the fire tassels, too. We did fire tassels here tonight at the Supper Club. And
I told them all about it already.
Oh, good.
Yay. I was like, yeah, we've got, I don't want to ruin the surprise for anyone else, but we're going to have fire tassels later. So, yeah, it was really fun. Like little flaming helicopters around your boobs. It was really great. And, oh, I didn't tell them about, she did this back bend where she's, like, on her knees, bending backwards and still shimmying, and the little fire tassels are, like, spinning around in circles. It was great.
Yeah, I absolutely love this act. I'm going to be in Sacramento tomorrow night. I'm going to be doing two different fire tassel acts tomorrow night. And then I'm going to be at Seduction Feroce on Tuesday doing regular tassels. And then I've got a bunch of shit planned, like, for December. So just keep on the lookout, and hope I can see you soon.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Lady Monster.
Yeah. Thanks, Monica. Love it.
Yeah, thanks for coming to the bondage dinner. It's always quite an experience. Wow, she's now even holding the thing so she gets even more gravity and tension. Whoa, she is intense.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, she's a tough one.
That beautiful ass. Oh my God.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Oh, he's hitting her really hard. But her butt bounces in this really beautiful, juicy way. Oh man. Oh, the bondage dinner. So much beauty.
We're talking now with the other intern who got tied up. In fact, they got tied to each other. You remember the dominatrix who tied you up? Her name was Alice.
Yes.
Alice in Bondage Land. What did you think of her?
To be honest, I was so concentrated of like what's going to happen that I didn't really feel or pay attention to her and her role in that part. I was more focused because it was so exciting about me. I didn't really see her.
So that's how a lot of submissives feel, is that they love the attention. You know, the dominant is paying so much close attention to you because you are in this very vulnerable place. So they have to take care of you.
That's right.
In your experience as an intern at Supper Club, do you feel coming to America, being at the Supper Club, you know, it's such a extraordinary club, you know, like that's the point, right?
That's right.
What has that experience been like for you?
It's been an incredible, like, new experience. The city itself, San Francisco, the Supper Club with all its possibilities for me to explore in many ways, like professionally, on a business level, as well as, I mean, Bondage Night, I was off. I was not working. I was there for fun. So I'm always excited to see new things, and especially the Bondage Night was interesting for me to see. So I'm working in the office, see the reactions of our guests. I'm telling them what it's all about, but then I'm also curious how it is to be there in the middle of the happening of Bondage Night. So what it meant, like, this internship was, I think, one of the best things I could do here, to be honest. Like, I had so many good times here. I think it's great for my future, whatever I'm going to do. It's a great input for my career and also for my personal life.
We're here at the Supper Club, and I'm talking to Dan. He's executive chef here at the Supper Club. So you've been designing the menu at Supper Club for about a year now. What do you think makes Supper Club different?
We try to take people off balance as a first thing. That's what we try to do. We try to, for instance, use different plates than other people use. We use, which sounds maybe a little bit weird, but it's normal here and almost a cliche. We use ashtrays, we use dog bowls. This presentation, but what we serve in there is almost the opposite of what it looks like. So we could serve like caviar, sabayon, really rich, ripe figs, all that kind of stuff, to kind of contrast the dog bowl or the ashtray.
You put caviar in an ashtray?
Yes, we did that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And you also like have all these little crispy, delicious things and little tastes of things, like little shots of I can't remember what it was, but I think it was like a cauliflower mousse.
We had a cauliflower mousse, yes, once with the chanterelles and a little breadstick. That was one of the things we did as an amuse.
Amuse, which is like an appetizer or to amuse?
That's when people come in, they get something small, and sometimes we make it really plain, like for instance popcorn. But we use tofu oil to spice that up.
So you keep it lighthearted and also, you know, be doing all of these really complicated gourmet menu maneuvers.
Well, it's in California relatively easy because all the produce is really wonderful and pretty. They're sometimes said that California chefs don't do anything else but just put the vegetables on the plate, which we try not to do. We try to do a little bit more with it. But it's still, a lot of things are so beautiful and nice that they don't need much more to become really awesome and beautiful.
Where are you from?
I'm from Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
And did you also work at the Supper Club in Amsterdam?
Yes, I did, for quite a while, for the last 6 years.
What's different about being in San Francisco?
The Supper Club here is younger, for sure. So I tell you, the crowd is really different. The people that work here are different, which makes already for a different club, because I think Supper Club is all about the people and not so much about how we look or what we actually do. All the things that we do are just a byproduct of actually, you know, who we are. So all the things we do reflect our personalities, reflect our characters. And that's how we work. So every Supper Club is in that way unique, because we always look for different and interesting characters.
Have you been to Supper Clubs in other places in the world? Are they similar or different? What are they like?
Because we are a supper club, and that means that we serve food and we are a club.
And you have this amazing show, so opera singers and aerialists and everything else in the middle of dinner.
Yeah, exactly. And the accent is sometimes more club, sometimes more restaurant. San Francisco is really 50-50. We're really a club and we are really a restaurant. We're both of it. And then like the one in Istanbul is more club. The one in London is more restaurant. It depends on where you are and what the people want who work there. And
what do you think makes Supper Club able to take the chances and be not ordinary and say, you know, things like, if you want ordinary, go someplace else?
Well, I think that's the only way we know how, so that makes it easy. We do this and we don't know anything else to do, so that's what we do best. So we enjoy it.
Being authentic.
Yes, and we hope we can, you know, transfer our passion and our love and our personalities over to our guests, and that they enjoy us as much as we do.
Well, I think that everyone that I've talked to that's come to a bondage dinner and any dinner at the Supper Club has just loved the food, and, you know, really the show is always spectacular and weird and beautiful and crazy. And like that guy that was throwing eggs on Red Bull on the guy, and then I kind of grounded into him and jumped out. Did you see any of that?
I did not see that, no.
Yeah, it was happening right underneath the kitchen, so I can see how you would have missed it. But it was kind of crazy and very messy.
We can clean that up.
You have extra eggs. It's all right.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dan. I really appreciate it. And the four-course dinners are always just wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been another broadcast of the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. Thanks for listening to Sexploration with Monica.